Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Right after Dave Murray, I'm going to go to the 97.1 FM Talk 25th anniversary celebration tonight. Do a hit with Reardon and Mark Cox. So the guys will take care of you from about 4 p.m. on. Attorney Brad Young joins us. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, I heard your well wishes this morning for the first time. Thank you for doing that. That was very cool.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure to mock your legal career.
Yes, it was very funny. The zero billable hours. I like that one.
Yep.
So I know you want to start out. We talked about it for a couple of minutes, but give us your legal analysis of this NBA scandal.
Well, there's two parts of it, and I'm sorry I didn't get to hear your earlier discussion on it, because I do have to keep track of billable hours. but no, there's two parts of this. One was this part where they were using insider sports information to bet on games, like when LeBron James was going to miss part of a game and they could use that information to bet on what's called proposition or prop bets on how he would do over and under, you know, how many points that LeBron's going to score in a game. They were using that. That's part one.
Yeah, that was Daniel Jones. That was the retired player who was
at the time
a Lakers player and was passing information about health status. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second part of it is really like something out of a movie or the show Poker Face, if you've ever watched that, where some of these guys, because they had big names, in particular, Damon Jones was also in there, but they would have these poker games in New York, Miami, a couple places in California and elsewhere, where they would invite rich people to come and play poker, but they were using X-ray machines that were built into the tables to read the cards.
Wow.
They had electronic sensors inside the cards. They had modified the deck shuffling machines to shuffle them a certain way.
Yeah.
And then they were giving a cut of the proceeds to the mafia so that the mafia could go and enforce and collect on the bets. I mean, this is a Law and Order episode. If we saw this on Law and Order, we'd say, ha, there's no way that could happen. And yet, you know, here we are.
So, Brad, is it your understanding that the mafia was the one that, you know, set up the tables and all this, or was it the NBA guys and the mafia were just enforcers?
Well, at least what's been publicly reported, there was the Gambino family, the Genovese family, and the Bonanno families, which are, of course, all mafia families. They were the ones who already had the tables and the equipment,
right,
and the altered devices. So they were, you know, here, use our equipment. We're not using it. And then it was being used to shake down these other people. But this was run by the mafia families, at least what's being publicly reported.
Yeah.
And these NBA players were just brought in, you know, as eye candy.
Yep.
So that people would want to come and play the games.
They called them face cards.
Yes.
So that was the nickname they had for Chauncey Billups, for Damon Jones. So it's like adding legitimacy to the game because here are famous people at this poker table with you. So it must be a real thing. It must be legit. That's the way it was set up.
Yeah, and these people are facing serious charges. I did a little math a little while ago, and on the conspiracy to commit wire fraud, which is charges against Rozier and Damon Jones, up to 20 years for each count. Conspiracy to launder money. Again, both cases up to 20 years for each count. There's something called the Hobbs Act, which prohibits extortion or conspiracy. That's anything that has to do with the mob. That's also up to 20 years per count. So these are serious charges. And, you know, the feds usually don't bring charges unless they have overwhelming evidence. I haven't seen the actual indictments yet. They've not been released, but I'll be looking those over when they're publicly available. But I'm assuming that the evidence here is extraordinarily detailed.
The next case, really interesting. Ruling on backyard chickens bill threatens St. Louis development projects.
Yeah. How could those two things be related, right? But there was a bill that went into law. It was 2024. And basically, it was done in response to HOAs preventing people from having chickens in their backyard. And so this law was passed in 2024, signed into law, that allowed, basically, it overrode HOAs and said HOAs cannot prohibit backyard chickens. If somebody wants to raise a few chickens in the backyard, an HOA can't do anything about it. Well, that whole bill was stricken and ruled unconstitutional earlier this week. And the reason it was ruled unconstitutional is because there were lots of things in what was called this omnibus bill. It dealt with chickens, but it also dealt with electric charging stations. It also had restrictions on local eviction moratoriums, changes to sewer district governance, you know, those things that are boring, but also had the expansion of state historic tax credits. And so when the judge struck this law, he struck the entire law because it violated what's called the single subject rule in Missouri, which means if you throw a whole bunch of things into one bill, you can't do that. You have to separate out the topics in different bills. So the whole bill, the whole law was thrown out because of the chickens. But because of this issue, it also eliminated the tax credits for historic buildings. And that's going to prevent the rehab on the Railway Exchange building downtown, as well as the AT&T building.
So what do they do now?
Well, the options are the attorney general does have the option to appeal the ruling, and I think that's going to be certain. But I don't really see this going anywhere on appeal because it clearly violates this idea practice called log rolling, where you stick all kinds of things in one bill. I think that an appeal would be moot. But I do see, though, that legislature in Jeff City is going to have to step up and attempt to reintroduce these individual provisions as separate bills so that this doesn't happen all over again next year.
And the last case, the Constitution does not allow the president to unilaterally blow suspected drug smugglers to smithereens.
Yeah, well, and this is something that Rand Paul has raised among many Republicans and Democrats. And it's kind of odd because you're saying here, because we all want to cheer for destroying drug-carrying boats and drug smugglers. I mean, who could be against that? And I don't know that anybody truly is. But the issue is, does the president have that power? And I looked through this today in detail, and I don't see that authority. Congress has created laws that allow the Coast Guard to basically have law enforcement powers at sea, and the military does not. And so when you're sending in an F-18 to fire a Hellfire missile at a drug smuggling boat or a narco submarine, that's law enforcement taken to the extreme. And only the Coast Guard has that. And if you also look at international law, the requirements are very laid out. They're very clear. And that is, you have to stop the boat. You have to inspect the boat. You have to interdict the boat. You have to make sure that there's evidence collected. You have to catch them in the act. And then you have to try them, give them due process, like we talked about earlier this week. And none of that happens when you simply fire a Hellfire missile at them.
So why does nobody say anything?
I mean, yeah, that was my question too.
Yeah, Rand Paul did, and he explained it very clearly. He was sitting in Congress saying, look, they don't make fentanyl there, and that boat the one boat that they blew up could never even reach the United States. It would need to stop and refuel 20 times to even get there, that it was probably just going from Venezuela to Trinidad and Tobago. And again, that's Rand Paul. That's not some rando, and it's certainly not somebody that's on the liberal left that's just attacking Trump. Why does nobody say this is not okay? I mean, I guess I get it because people are intimidated by this administration, but If you're not willing to use the power that you have as a senator or as a congressman, then what good are you?
Yeah, that's a great point, Wheels. And the only thing I can think of, and I've thought that through, the only thing I can think of is, and this often happens with legal quandaries, is that the public cannot oftentimes distinguish between a legal position and the party that's involved. For example, when the Nazis wanted to march in Skokie, Illinois in the 1970s, and they were denied a permit because they were Nazis, the ACLU came out and actually argued their case for them. And it seemed odd that the ACLU would be arguing for Nazis. But they weren't arguing for Nazis. They didn't support Nazis, but they supported the idea of free speech. And I think that's similar to what we have here, where no one wants to go out and say, you know, those drug dealers, fentanyl drug dealers are getting a raw deal here. But you're not standing up for the drug dealers. You're standing up for the rule of law.
Yeah, and the power really of your branch of government.
Yeah. So I do hope and I do think that this will become a louder and louder chorus of complaints, because now there's hints that Trump may want to actually send troops into Venezuela, which would be, number one, colossally bad idea, but number two, an illegal idea, because even under the use of force agreements under the War Powers Act, he wouldn't have the authority to do that, only defensive activities. He argues this is defensive because they're importing drugs, but that's a big stretch, and I don't see any court allowing him to do that absent authorization from Congress.
Brad, what do you make legally and politically of the president saying that he is demanding $230 million from the current DOJ for what the past DOJ did, and yet his own lawyers will have to sign off on it?
That's the poster child for a conflict of interest. It really, really is. It's saying the government owes me money, and by when I say government, I mean the executive branch owes me $250 million. And oh, by the way, I'm in charge of the executive branch. I really hope that someone would challenge that. I don't know how that would be challenged. I'm going to have to research that, which I will, because I'm interested in under what mechanism can you challenge it? I mean, very quickly, for example, lots of people filed lawsuits during the Vietnam War stating that I'm a taxpayer. I don't want my tax dollars going to the Vietnam War. All of those were shut down 100% because being a taxpayer was not enough standing, which is the legal way of saying I've got skin in this game. Just being a taxpayer is not enough standing to do that. So I'd have to see how that act would be challenged other than on the basis of I don't want my tax dollars going to self-deal and have Trump pay himself $250 million.
Thank you, Brad. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. No other
lover. This was the very first song I learned to play on guitar. Fourth grade. My brother had... how old are you in fourth grade?
Nine.
Okay. So I got my first guitar at nine. It was like 72, I think, 73. Yellow Telecaster. Like I went ahead and bought that one later on in life because my brother took it back from me, the original one, because I beat the hell out of it. And then I gave it to Nick when he turned 30. And I never got any better. Like, I learned all the cowboy chords from a Mel Bay book, and I could play all the songs, and I never practiced again.
Yeah.
kind of a pattern with me. I didn't take two guitar lessons from Mr. Coons, who is my seventh grade biology teacher, a little later on. And we're playing like the Mexican hat dance and stuff like that. I'm like, this blows.
Yeah.
This is work.
Didn't take for me either.
You tried?
I did. My mom signed me up for, I don't know, it's like a 5 or 6 week class, like 4 or 5 kids and an instructor. And then I did like private lessons for maybe 4 or 5 times. And I just hated it. I hated it. Well, first of all, because it was boring. I had an acoustic guitar and I had to play boring things I didn't want to play. And I'm like, well, between this and just running around playing sports outside, I'm going to choose that. If you're going to teach me how to be Eddie Van Halen, let's go. But you got to do the other stuff first.
I think, I'm not sure whether it's an ad for something or if I just saw an interview or what have you, but someone was talking about, I think it was Shohei Ohtani, and how he's great because of the boring stuff. That he does stuff all day, every day that's really boring, and that's why he's great. And that hits home for me.
No, that's 100%. You know, That's my experience in sport. That's why you got to have a particular passion for a particular thing to be great at it.
Yeah.
Right? Like for me, baseball, the boring stuff was fun.
Yeah.
I loved taking batting practice and hitting off a tee. I loved taking ground balls and blocking pitches and receiving bullpens and all that. Yeah, that was fun to me. Playing, you know, whatever dumb kid song with an acoustic guitar was not fun to me.
What is your thing about McDonald's?
Yeah, so I saw a video kind of making a point how McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's, and we've touched on this, I think, at some point in the past, their CEOs are constantly out there complaining how they're losing customers, you know, the economy's killing their businesses. But then other places like Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out Burger, other similar places that are of the same type of fast food are killing it. They're doing great. They're setting records. They're making profits. And this guy was making the point that it's not just the economy that's hurting you, although part of it, using McDonald's as the example, was just how much they've increased their prices in the last 5 or 6 years. Like, I think he was going to say they tripled in a very short amount of time, like maybe a 7 or 8 year, 10 year window. And that when you're not providing the best, it's got to be super cheap or nobody wants it. If the price comparison is even close between those other three, McDonald's, Burger King, and Wendy's, and say Chick-fil-A, well, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the place where you get better service every time. You're going to go to the place where you're getting a better quality of food every time. And there's no variation. And, you know, it's interesting because why is that the case? Why is Chick-fil-A so much better? Why is it run so much better than McDonald's? Why is it always the friendliest place on earth? Why do they never get your order wrong?
I think you're only allowed to own one Chick-fil-A store.
Each franchisee? Well, yes. Yeah, again. So, but that gets back to the same point. The people that own the franchises need to enforce standards. Because they're franchises for Chick-fil-A. Those aren't O&Os. Those aren't owned and operated by the company. Well, because their franchise owners probably have to sign an agreement saying, we will enforce these standards. And these standards, we're always going to be friendly. We're always going to get everything right. We're going to be fast. Even though our drive-thru line is 5 times the length of McDonald's drive-thru, we're going to move just as fast as they are because you have it locked down. And basically, this guy's point was, and he worked in the industry of like evaluating restaurants, like, stop complaining, just get better. Do a better job. It's not the economy's hurting every business, right? It's tough for everybody. But others are beating you because they just do it better. Better quality at the same price with better service.
Okay, I'm going to make a big statement. And this may cause my friend Andrew to come after me. But it seems to me like we all just need to acknowledge the truth that especially McDonald's, but also its compadres like, you know, Wendy's.
Yeah.
They're just slop.
Yeah.
Wrong.
They're total slop. Especially compared to what they used to be, like a Big Mac, get that out of here. That's not even close to a Big Mac, but it's our familiar slop.
Yeah.
I eat McDonald's more now than I ever have. It's familiar. It's fast. It's easy. I'm stupid for paying $25 on DoorDash, but I'll do it sometimes. Yeah. But it's terrible.
Yeah, well, a lot of those places, it depends on which one you're going to.
For sure.
Because some are run poorly and some are not run.
I dare you to go to the one on Jefferson.
But this is, again, but you can enforce a corporate-wide standard.
Andrew? I mean,
some of them do it, and they do it really well.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
I mean, I think I've always said, I think when it comes to stuff like you say it's slop, it used to be so good, and now it's slop. I think you have rose-colored glasses. I think that it was delicious because you had not a care in the world, and, you know.
There's certainly a component of that, but I promise you anyone my age can confirm people cared more back then because the young kids that were working there were afraid of the managers, and the managers were afraid of the owners, and so you put the pickles in the right place even if you didn't want to. Mm. And today I think people are just like, what the hell do I care?
You're asking. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people call me Welcome back, guys. DGS 234. Janelle just did her congratulations. She'll be here at the top of the hour at 3 p.m. We're just talking about all that kind of stuff. I do think it's a really interesting discussion. Now that I'm 61, about the generational thing, which Wheels is big on, but he's more generational as in like, well, 1,000 years ago. But what you just said, like, no, you just ate McDonald's when you were young and happy and you had hair and it just seemed better. And I have to say, I really don't think that's true most of the time. Like, I'm 61, not 1,061. Like, I remember distinctly what a Big Mac looked like, you know what I mean? But it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I mean, for example, I don't think McDonald's has changed at all since I was a little kid. And so I think it's the same it was 30 years ago. You know what I mean? So that's why I find it so, like, hard to believe that it was, like, something, a radically different product.
Yeah, it was.
50 years ago when it wasn't 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It was different. It was different 30 years ago, Andrew. What goes into the items changes a little bit here and there. Some of it for improvements too, by the way. But it is about my view of it, and I think you'll agree, Dave. It's about how it's put together. So like when we go to Taco Bell, I'm a huge Taco Bell fan. Most everything at Taco Bell is the same stuff, just in a different package, right? It's in a hard shell or a soft shell. It's a burrito or it's a taco, but it's kind of the same stuff. How it's put together. And with the care with which it is put together impacts the quality of that meal, impacts the quality of that whatever, the taco, burrito, whatever. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about. If the burgers are overdone because someone's only half-assed paying attention, well, then all those burgers that they just overdid are not going to be as good as what they should be.
Yeah, but that's making a wild assumption that every single fast food, anything you're ever going to have now, is put together by a miserable sack of garbage that hates his life.
Andrew, nobody's assuming anything. We're talking
about you're assuming.
No, we're talking about the experience that we're having now compared to the experience that we had 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
I don't think there was a difference.
There was more consistency in the product that you got when people were paying better attention.
Can I weigh in?
Please.
Okay, maybe 30 years. When I was a little kid, going to McDonald's was a treat. For, like, most people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Somewhere along the line, it became a convenience where it's like, I should be able to expect to have this for dinner as many times a week as... There was just something that shifted in our culture where it was less of a treat and more of just, like, a thing you take for granted. When that happens, more and more people are going to the McDonald's. They're having to make more and more burgers than they ever have before. So I don't know if it's, like, they don't care as much. As much as it's, they're so busy, I would assume a rush in 2025 is going to be a lot different than a rush
in
1975.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it's put together differently, it's just because they're dealing with more. I'm sure it's like any other corporation on the planet. The lowest paid employees are having more and more stuff piled on them and less help all the time. So I don't know if it's necessarily like... Oh, they just don't care. I'm sure plenty of people don't care, but it's just, I think it's a different environment and a different level of pressure and they're expected to crank out so much
more.
Yeah,
I don't think you're wrong. I can tell you, though, that what's not generational, I think, is that teenagers don't care. When I was a teenager working at Mr. Donut, I didn't care at all.
Right.
I didn't give a rat's ass whether the Long John was properly iced or not. But I did it because, like I said, there was fear. I was afraid of my manager. He intimidated me. And beyond that, if I were to get fired or something, my mom and dad would have just death.
Right.
That was just not an option, getting fired in, you know, 1982, whatever it was. And I think that's changed.
Yeah.
And I think all you have to do, like, we all know, kind of, we don't all live everywhere, but we all kind of know where the good McDonald's is and the bad McDonald's.
That's
and
right.
The good Taco Bell.
So what's
and the
bad
difference?
Taco
Bell, the ownership.
Yeah, because they're serving the exact same physical product.
Yeah.
I don't.
So when you know that,
I feel like I need to say
some places are good and well run, I go to those places because of that.
I feel like I need to point out, I don't think the solution here is that we need to terrify minimum wage workers. I don't think that's the answer.
It's not about terrify. Dave keeps coming back to
they were scared of the managers, and then the managers were scared of the owners. I don't know if that's necessarily the solution.
To lose your job, and now, right now, you're not, because most places don't have enough people to begin with. So they're afraid of people quitting, which means you can't enforce a standard because people can then just quit. And and that's part of the problem. And this is not all on an employee's fault. It's just part of the circumstance.
Well, if you're describing it like that, then none of it
is
the employee's
fault. And in
reality,
when you made minimum wage 25, 30 years ago, minimum wage was closer to what people needed to live. When minimum wage has not grown enough, it has not matched inflation. So when you're not matching inflation and it's a job that everybody could just care less about, well, why would you care?
Yeah, so why is any of that the employee's fault? That's not the employee's fault. It's the company's fault.
Andrew, it doesn't change the fact that they're still not doing the job at the level that they need to. I understand why. I'm not saying they're the villain. There's a lot of things at play here. But when someone has no incentive to care, then they might not give me the product that I need. And why is it different at Chick-fil-A? Why is it different at In-N-Out Burger? Why is one McDonald's different than another McDonald's?
Do you not think they are?
Because they are different, and we all know it.
Do you think they're different?
From
one McDonald's to another, or McDonald's to Chick-fil-A?
I've got two within 2 miles of my house, and one is very different than the other.
I'm getting Taco Bell tonight. There are three Taco Bells in Alton. I know which one I'm going to get Taco Bell.
Right. So what's the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference?
I have no idea.
What's your guess?
I have no idea.
Oh, you have some idea.
No, I genuinely don't.
Because
I don't know.
It's better run. You've got better management, better ownership, or you're paying better, which puts you in competition for better employees.
I have no idea what the difference between them is. I know that when I go to one, I tend to enjoy the food better. I feel like it is better cooked, whatever. But I'm not going to...
But there are reasons that are not related to the food.
I have no idea. I can't value judgment Taco Bell, Kevin.
You think it's magic? No, it's not complicated.
I'm saying I don't know the difference, and neither do you. And you're, like you said, I'm not value judging Taco Bell based on whether or not I think
why
the sody tastes better at one than the other.
Why are you trying to give people a free pass for doing a crappy job?
Because I'm not convinced that they're the problem.
What is then? Andrew, that is such a cop-out. You know exactly what it is. If two people have the exact same materials and are getting paid the exact same amount of money to do the exact same job, and one doesn't, what's the difference?
What are you talking about? You have no idea what each person's getting paid.
They're going to be relatively close. And by the way, maybe the difference is the good ones pay more. Maybe that's the difference, but there is a difference. It is tangible and measurable. It's not magic, and it's not a mystery.
God, I wish I knew everything. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Come on, dude. You have to have like cognitive dissonance to not see this. If you and I each are presented the same things to create the same net outcome, and one of us is better at it than the other, there's a reason for that.
What's the reason?
One of us has either been taught better, so we have better knowledge of how to do it and do it the right way, or we care more. Or one of us is more qualified, which might mean that we're getting paid more to do it.
Or one of us is getting paid a lot more.
That's what I'm saying. You're you're getting paid more, so you care more. So there is a difference. I don't know why you're being obstructionist on this. This is the simplest thing in the world.
I just think I'm not sure that you know as much as you're convinced that you
Andrew,
do. That's what I'm saying.
For God's God's sake, it's common sense. If you give two people the same stuff and say, here, make a burger, and one burger is consistently better than the other, what's the difference?
Can I tell you something? I could watch this for hours.
I'm starting to lose track of what we're arguing
about. I have also lost track. I don't know why he's so mad.
Because
I stand by what I said.
What you said makes no sense.
Fine, whatever. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, of course you don't, because you can't back it up. You just, I mean, we can't just say blanketly, well, it's not the employee's fault. Clearly it is.
Get him.
And that may start with the manager or the owner of the franchise and not the lowest level guy.
Hey, knock him down a peg, pig dog. They've had it too good for too long.
What are you talking about?
I am so sick of these McDonald's workers ruining my life.
I just named the owners of the places as part of the problem. It's not just the people cooking, but it's clearly everyone working in that place. Because if one place is better than the other with the exact same materials, then it's the humans that are different. It's complicated, dude.
I would like to declare Kevin the winner so that we can move on.
Okay, done.
Good Lord, man.
Woof.
Am I crazy?
Yes.
I don't know.
At this point, I think I'm crazy.
Seriously, though. I mean, like, what? Is it magic?
Doug, I said you
so
won.
So are you saying that we should just, like, mass fire a bunch of people from Taco Bell?
Do we need a great rotation?
Here's what I'm saying. If these people that are running these giant corporations would, instead of whining and bitching and complaining about people's behaviors of spending on their products that are falling behind other products, you should hold your franchisees to a standard so the product is consistent and good and the service is consistent and good. So instead of complaining to us about it, go fix your corporation. You're the CEO. This is what you get paid to do. Don't whine like it's everybody else's fault.
But you're not placing...
You can enforce that.
You're not placing that end user blame on the CEOs. You're placing it on the minimum wage employees that you're dealing with at each individual restaurant.
I have literally blamed everyone involved in the chain, from the CEO to the very bottom. Because if you have a job and you refuse to care about it for any reason, you're part of the problem.
Wheeler's purple.
I am. I'm freaking out, man. I don't understand. I really don't. I've literally named the CEOs. This whole conversation started with me barking at CEOs.
That's
and
true.
Andrew's like, why are you picking on the little guys? Hey, you know what?
Because you're also picking on the little guys.
Yeah, because I've been the little guy. And you know how I'm not the little guy anymore? Because I did my damn job the right way and I moved up.
You're punching up and then you're also punching as hard down as you can.
Listen, if you think punching down, you think it's punching down to say somebody should try to do their job well, that's a problem.
I think it is punching down.
You should
try. I think it is punching down for you to blanketly, with no information at all, value judge a minimum wage fast food employee and say that they don't care about their jobs. I think that, yeah, that is punching
that.
Job.
I said that the ones that down, are Kevin. Doing a poor job clearly don't care because they have the same tools as the ones that are doing a better job. The exact same cooking tools, the same food, the same grill, the same everything.
You don't know that? We don't have all the same equipment that every other radio station has.
Dude. Oh, my God.
Take a break.
I already said he won.
I don't even know why we're still in this segment. You're just saying it as a cop-out because you don't want to actually blame anybody that could be near minimum wage. I mean, look, every person has to do their job for anything to work. Every person. From the boss all the way down to the person who's the newest hire.
And I'm saying, yes, get them. Take them down a peg.
No, you're not. You're being a smartass.
They've had it too good for too long.
Stop it, man. Stop it.
I'm so sick of what they're doing to me.
Oh, well, somebody's paying me, but I don't need to care. I don't need to care. That's not my fault if I don't care about the job I'm being asked to do. I'm accepting the money, but I don't need to care.
Glenn says, the country is falling apart and you guys are talking about this crap.
Go eat some veggies.
Hey,
I love that. And immediately Nick says, if I go to Taco Bell one more time and they forget my sauce, I may lose it.
I love this show.
And they're both right.
Hey,
both of them are 100% right.
To Glenn's point, the country's falling apart. You know what? This is all symbolic of why it's falling apart.
Oh, he's wrapping it around.
Because the people at the very top are too greedy to give a crap about the rest of us. We're too freaking lazy to vote. We're too lazy to take part in anything.
Go get them.
And it is our fault, us peons, as much as it is the fault of those big boys in D.C. that we complain about. It's the exact same thing. perfect parallel. Thank you, Glenn. Well done.
I actually don't think it's as much our
it's
fault.
The
as
same.
It is there.
Hey, we are the ones that
not
choose
to keep it going here.
We
but
are
come
the ones
on
that
now.
Choose.
Come if, on
hey,
now,
listen,
dog.
Hey, if we're not gonna participate, it's our fault too.
I did not vote for Trump. So is all the stuff
okay,
that he's doing that I don't
here,
like my fault?
Andrew.
Does anyone kind of want a Big Mac right now?
Well, I would love
only
one.
If it's from one of the good ones.
But I know that it would be made horribly by some peon moron who can't give an F about
order
it.
Order one
so.
From each of the McDonald's that's closest to us, and then compare.
There you go.
And then we'll give an award.
There you go.
To the best
I love
restaurant.
It. I love it. I'm not sure Kevin's coming back.
It's incredible to behold. When he gets going.
If you're
like
not
that.
Watching on the stream, drop what you're doing and go watch it right now.
Wheeler for press secretary, says Luke on the screen.
And hey, look at that. Bobby. Bobby says, I worked at McDonald's that was a triple F rating. We got a new manager and she changed it to a triple A store in less than a year.
Huh. I wonder why.
We do have to take a break. We have to take a break.
Ah, break, Schmick. Let's just keep going at this.
We're blowing out the top of the hour news.
Kevin reminded me of Steve Carell in Anchorman.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Janelle says she can't wait to walk in. I need you here, Janelle. Please.
Kevin, do you really love Lamp?
Run, don't walk to the studio.
I love Lamp.
Oh, boy.
He does have a lamp in his shot.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS, I got scared Dave away.
Yeah, I think Dave's going to go to McDonald's and do a little inspection on those folks.
I think Dave was like, all right, enough of the screaming Mimi.
The stream is blowing up. You
I know, man.
You guys got the people going today.
So, this is, you know, you guys, this proves the point
my
that we
weak,
say all
woke,
along.
My weak, woke, lack of reason argument. Shut up.
You can see, though. That,
shut up, Dingbat.
Now I fully get how rage bait works. All I had to do is get angry and everybody's going nuts.
It works, man. It's a real thing.
That was proof in real time that if you play angry, if you get all heated and have hot takes, people are like, hey.
Here he is.
Hey, back. I didn't scare Dave away.
Did you think it was the top of the hour?
No. I talked to Beth for too long.
Dave was like, I need a minute.
I gotta
it's like, these breaks aren't long enough.
Wheeler gave me a headache.
No, it was, I just told Andrew. There's good radio and there's bad radio, but no one turned that off.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were just joking about how the comments went nuts.
Yes.
And I said that this is just proof that rage bait works.
Well, it's also proof that we're real.
Yeah,
that was
that's
a
true.
Real argument.
Yeah,
that was.
I
yeah.
was literally,
no,
can I be
I,
honest, I was literally afraid for Kevin.
My heart was pounding.
For me?
Yes.
Why?
You didn't seem to have breathed that whole time.
I don't need to breathe.
Taylor makes an interesting point. They say, I do HVAC services for fast food. Locations don't get the same resources. The bad ones are always ran by workers who are constantly getting requests denied, and the building is falling apart.
Yep. And I'm the owners in that case.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's team effort.
Yes.
Yes.
Swing down. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.